Boker Tov. Today we finish, so we go back to the beginning. Where does this journey start that we're on? We started with a goal to focus every week on personal growth. And the way that we have been pursuing this path is using this sefer, Alei Shor, authored by Rav Shlomo Volbe. And when we think about the beginning, not just of the sefer, but of this journey of the movement of which Rav Volbe is a part, we can understand the end, which is the last chapter that we're studying today, which is Perek Shneim Asar, the 12th chapter in the section Ma'areches Ma'adam. This unit, Ma'areches Adam, the unit of the person, that's what it's been about. It's about us as people, as human beings, as creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It concludes with a very specific focus, which is unquestionably rooted in the beginning. Because where does this story, this tradition that Rav Volbe is tapping into of teaching, where does it originate? It originates back in Eastern Europe, in the 19th century, what we call the Musar movement was founded by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the student of the Gaon of Vilna, whereby in Lithuania, momentum was growing, although initially there was some controversy about this, but the idea of focusing on personal development and ethical and moral composition, according to Rav Yisrael Salanter and the Musar movement, needed to be refocused. It needed to be recalibrated as a value at the center of our spiritual path. Whereas maybe in traditional learning, Gemara was the focus, and in-depth analytical halachic learning was the primary path, Rav Yisrael Salanter said, wait a second, we need to make sure that we don't go away, we don't lose the ethical teachings that, by the way, are all throughout the Gemara, right? The whole Musar movement is predicated on, as we've learned, drawing lessons from pieces from statements of Chazal, from the rabbis, from the Gemara. There are sheets, so feel free, we should put them in the back. So it's saying that we're going to emphasize the personal character development, the moral development of B'nai Torah, of Jews. That's what we need to focus on, says the Musar movement. So the Musar movement is going to begin with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He's going to hand it off to his chief disciple, Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, Rabbi Itzla Petterberger, and it's going to go back and forth in Lithuanian yeshivas, and it's going to spread in different styles of Musar. I'm certainly not one to give Musar, obviously. I'm a student of Torah, so included in the world of Torah is Musar, just like many other aspects. So I've been learning together with you this perspective on how to grow using the teachings of Rav Volbe, who, if you go down the chain of tradition, is one of the great Musar teachers of the 20th century. So this brings us to the conclusion of this section, of the conclusion of the concept of what it means to be an Adam, to be a person. What does it mean to be a person for a Musar movement, for the Musar Chevra? What does that mean? Where are you going to end? Because obviously you're going to end very strong. You're going to end, this is, you know, after we talked about lots of things, we talked about the lave, and we talked about the moach and the kloyos and the emotional upheaval of a person. So many things. I don't know how many months we've been at this. Right? But this is the end of the 12th chapter. Where does it end? It ends with one midah, one character trait, one focus. And I wonder if he does this on purpose. Because perhaps you have to ask somebody who really knows anything about Musar. I don't know anything about Musar. I don't know much about anything. But I certainly don't know much about Musar. That wasn't not my mooring, so to speak. It's not my spiritual source. It's not really in the Musar world. But I wonder, I speculate, if having learned this together with you for all these months, if it actually makes perfect sense for a Musar to personality to end this section, the introductory section, with this character trait. He quotes a pasuk in Yehoshua, see line number one. Vayidom Hashemesh v'yareach omar ad yikum goy oivov halohu ksuva halohi ksuva al sefer hayashar. This story about how the sun and the moon stood still, it is written, says the pasuk in Yehoshua in the 10th chapter, on the sefer hayashar, on the book of the straight. Sefer Hayashar. V'isav Avodah Zarah Chafei Amid Aleph. It says in the Gemara Avodah Zarah 25a, my Sefer Hayashar. What is the Sefer Hayashar? The book of the straight. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, said Rabbi Chiya in the name, Rabbi Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ze Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov. This is the book of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Shenikru'u Yisharim, that were called Yesharim. They were called the straight. Shenemar, as Bilam prophesied about our forefathers, Tomus Nafshi Mos Yesharim. He says, I wish I could die the death of the straight. Those are the patriarchs. Says Ravolbi here on line number four. Sefer Bereshis, the book of Bereshis, who Sefer HaYashar is the book of the straight. V'imze Shemo, if this is its name, Niret Seem Shekol HaSefer, the entire book, Oseik B'inyan Echad, it deals with one issue, Yashrus. Havan is boning, let's think about this. Yashrus. Yashrus is a Hebrew word, Yashrut. I can translate it into Ivrit. Yashrut. It's also a Yiddishized word, Yashrus. It's a colloquial Yiddish expression. And I'm not sure how to effectively, precisely translate Yashrus into English. Yeah, straightness. But it doesn't mean that in a narrow sense. It means it in a moral, ethical, human sense. What does it mean to be a person who is Yashar? Yashar means to be straight. But it doesn't just mean be straight with me when you have a conversation. It means to be a Yashar person. I don't even know, honestly, how to translate that. How would you translate that?
To be true, to say the truth.
Okay, it does mean to say the truth, but it means to be upstanding. It means to do the right thing. You could translate it with another Yiddish word, which is to be erlich. To be proper, to be good. Now I understand why Ravolbi finishes the section of what it means to be human, which is the first section of this second volume of Ali Shur, with this midah. Because if you're Bali Musar, the Musar movement, what do they want us to be? A mensch! Just be a mensch! Just be yashar! Just be a straight, decent, erlich person. That's what it's saying. That's what the book of Bereshis is about, and that's why I think, I hypothesize, that's why Ravolbi finishes with this, because at the end of the day, the main thing we have to remember is, just be a mensch. It's not about Frumkeit, it's about Ehrlichkeit, it's about Yashrus. Frumkeit has to do with religious accoutrements, being frum. But for the Musar community, what I think we're trying to understand is that it's not about Frumkeit. It's about Yashrus. It's about just being decent. Being a good person.
It's upright.
Yes, upright. I'm sorry I'm being so circumscript, but it's so difficult to point it out. But you know what? When we encounter people like that, that's it. We know it. We know there's no shtick. There's no games, there's no, you know, they say one thing, they do something else. They're just yashar. Their word is their word, they're honest, but they're also good. Erlich means upstanding, proper, That's something it's difficult to capture without this Hebrew word, yashar. The Avos HaKadoshim, our forefathers, they were yasharim. And we have the innate capacity to be yashar. It's going to get complicated, but at the end of the day, we can say to ourselves, we have that ability. We struggle, we fail, we get lost, doesn't matter. We come back to it. Why? Says Rav Volbi in line number 6. Quotes a pasuk in Koheles. Ha'elokim asa es ha'adam yashar, ve'heim bikshu cheshbonos rabim. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he created man. By the way, he means this on two levels, of course. He means he created Adam Rishon, but he also means he created each one of us. He created Adam, me, you, all of us, Yashar, straight. Vehema Bikshu, Cheshbonos Rabin. And they, Bikshu, they sought Cheshbonos. Cheshbonot in Hebrew means calculations. It's also a Yiddish word, cheshbonos, and usually involves a hand gesture like this. You know, if I do this, and I say that, and she meant this, and she was thinking that, and if I go there, and I text this, so many cheshbonos. By the time you're finished with those cheshbonos, like this and like this, you're not straight anymore. Your thumbs are crooked. Ribbono Shel Olam made us straight. Where do we see this so often? We see it in children. Children, they have no pretensions. They're not worried that their clothes are going to represent this and that they're going to make their friend feel like that. They're just yashar. And that's why so often they say things that we can't bring ourselves to say because we have so many calculations. We have so many cheshbonos. Well, if I say this and I say that, crazy adult cheshbonos. Children, they're yashar. The Ribbono Shel Olam made them yashar, straight. Rashi explains on this pasuk, line 7, Asher also HaKadosh Baruch Hu sa Adam Yashar Vehem. What does that mean? God created Adam straight, Vehem, and they. Kishin is Dav Golo Chava Ishto Venasu Shnaim Venikru Hema. When Adam became a community of two, Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim, they sought many calculations and issues. Mizimos Machshava Shel Chet. They fell into a problem. They start talking to each other. You know, you see that tree? What would happen if we ate from that tree? What are you asking? What do you eat from that tree? The Ribbono Shel Olam said, don't eat from the tree. Well, you know, if we ate from the tree, the Nachash says we would be like God. He says, well, I don't know, be like God. Good idea, bad idea. Start going back and forth. They fill up another cup of tea, another cup of coffee. They're cheshbening further, another discussion, further discussion. By the time they finish with this discussion, you know where they are? Flat out of Gan Eden. Gone. So many cheshbonos. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, don't eat from the tree. You have it good. Mikol Eitzakon Achol Tochel. Don't think, what are you getting involved? Just do the right thing. Well, maybe, I don't know, I should think. Bah, bah, bah. It's crazy. When Adam HaRishon was created, line number 10, Adam HaRishon haya yashar v'tachlis, he was purely straight. We'd say he was straight as an arrow. So the Medrash has a description. He was misofa olam v'ad sofo. He was from one end of the earth to the other. He encompassed everything. Mina aretz ad rakia haya, the Gemara says. His height, what does it mean, his height? It doesn't just mean his physical height, it means his stature. He had enormous stature, Adam HaRishon. He was from the floor, the bottom floor, the basement, all the way to the heavens, to the rakia. He was enormous. He had great stature. He was yashar. This is what yashus is. Yashus is synonymous with greatness, not pettiness. Not cheshbonos. She didn't say hello to me. Well, she said hello to me, but the text was very short. Like, you know, it was very short. I was expecting a longer text. Cheshbonos. Adam Rishon. Dargas kol abriya. His kedushaso, line 11. Ki kedushas beis hamikdash. The sanctity of Adam Rishon was the sanctity of the beis hamikdash. It was unbelievably higher than anything we can imagine. Avol, line 13, Koach hara hayanimtza ba'olam v'zakov l'tikun. There was the potential lurking in the world for evil. And all he had to do was keep that at bay and navigate it and just stay true to himself and Chava stay true to herself. Koach hara, he says, line 13, Im adam harishon, aleph dalet heresh, is adam harishon, Hayaomit bin Yisoyin shall pre Eitz Hadas, if he would have been able to withstand the test of the Eitz Hadas, Hayazeh HaTikun, this would have been the fixing of the world. He would have been able to get over that barrier of temptation. Right? Because what is Ra? What is evil? In Hasidic tradition, evil is not essentially independent of good. Evil is a mechanism of good. Because to accomplish something and to feel that sense of accomplishment and to grow, we need to climb and push ourselves and conquer. If we just had a static life, then we wouldn't be growing, we wouldn't be succeeding and accomplishing. We wouldn't feel good about ourselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor, and he says, I'm going to be the palace in the king. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a fence outside the moat, and I'm going to send you outside, and I'm waiting for you to come inside. So do me a favor, climb over the fence, sneak under the chain, swim over the moat, and come see me. The purpose of the moat is not to keep us out. It's to give us an opportunity to push ourselves to earn a place in. The Ra was created in the world so that other Rishon should be able to vanquish it, and the Roshon will say, oh, we're so tight. You're so involved and invested in me, in the relationship with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say to him, it would be so great. But he just sank in the moat. He sank, like we all do. Line 15. Hanisayon hayakashem. It was a difficult challenge. To swim through that moat for Adam HaRishon, for the first man, was not easy. There was a snake, there was a tree, I don't know what else was there, I can't tell you. There was, Chazal described, it was not a simple thing. And we all have the same experience. We wake up every day, we have that potential for Yashrus, but there are a lot of trees. And the Nachash is talking to us, sometimes on the outside and sometimes on the inside. That snake is whispering, the Nachash. Avolhu im Yashruso, line 15, Adam HaRishon did have an inner moral compass, an inner Yashrus, Hayamasuga Lamud. Bo. He could have withstood it, but he didn't. And because of that, go to line 20, Chava Nispatasa Behechshila, Chava was seduced by this Cheshbon, by listening to this Nachash, by getting involved in all these calculations, v'echshila gam also, and she brought him down also. And what happened? Brias hayashrus niskalkala. The world was diminished. Our world was damaged because instead of just being pure and simple and naive in a good sense, naive in a beautiful sense, now the koach of Ra is within us. Now, our instincts are always suspect, and they need to be suspect, because we don't know what's really motivating us at any given time. Adam Rish initially, what was motivating him was his inner moral conscience. Beautiful. But now, we don't know what's talking to us. Is it our moach? Is it our mind? Is it our kloyos? Is it our kidneys, our guts? What is that a function of? It's a function of Adam Rishon abandoning his inner yashrus, his inner do the right thingness. On occasion, I have the opportunity to come back to YU to visit. So I get together with the boys. I wouldn't be so arrogant to say that they're my boys, but I feel like I'm Chicago, so they're my chevra. I'm a Chicagoan. So I come to New York, we have lunch, it's awesome. So usually when I go, there is a gentleman, even though I left YU 12 years ago, but I had been in YU for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. There's a gentleman, his name is Marco. And now, the last few times I go, he works in there's a little, like a, mini-mart type of thing, next to the Beis Medrash, next to the library. There's a little mini-mart, and he works there in the mini-mart. But Amol, when I was in YU, he used to work in the cafeteria, and he was on the lunch line, on the dinner line, serving. So there was always a choice. Every night, there were French fries and vegetables. And he would always tell us, he would tell us from the bottom of his heart, Mamish, do the right thing. Choose the vegetables. Markov.
This is your mother speaking.
No, it was a Hispanic gentleman who I became friends with. So when I see him now, I still remind me always, and it's a message for life, do the right thing. But it's so difficult. I don't know how many times I chose the French fries, right? Maybe once in a while it's okay, but the idea of doing the right thing, on the one hand, it's so simple, and yet it's so complicated. But the amazing thing is, the important thing to remember is, no matter how many times we fail to do the right thing, and we eat from the Eitz Hadas or those French fries, we can always come back to the inner Yashrus, because that is the spark of their neshama that will and can never be destroyed. It will always remain there. Look at how he concludes this section, this page with the Rambam. Look at line 22. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad, says the Rambam. This is the end of the Rambam in the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, which is important that the Rambam includes this moral and ethical message in a book that's strictly a law book. It's not just the tribe of Levi. Elakol ish v'ish, every human being, mikol boy olam, of all creations, human race, not just Jews, men and women, asher nodva rucho oso, that their spirit has moved them, ve'ivino mado, and their mind and their intellect has given them the insight, lehibodel, to distinguish themselves, lamud lefnei Hashem l'shorso u'la'ovdo, to stand before Hashem and to serve Him, l'deas Hashem, to know God, v'holach yashar, and that person goes yashar, the Rambam says, just goes straight. That person is a mensch, yashar. Kemo sha'asoho Elokim, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. Uporak me'al tzavaro, and removed from on his tzavar, from his neck, or you could say from his phone, or from his mindset, all ha'cheshbonos harabim, the yoke of the many cheshbonos, the calculation, shesher bikshu b'nei ha'adam, top left column. The Rambam, you see, is paraphrasing that pasuk in Koheles. The Rambam is quoting that pasuk and telling you there are lots of cheshbonos that people make. But you know what? Anyone can get up any day of the year and say, you know what? I'm done with that. It's a burden. It's an all. Think of the imagery that the Rambam is using. Imagine you take a huge wooden yoke and you put it on your shoulders. And we feel like that sometimes. The burden of having to pose and pretend and to project so many cheshbonos, it's so burdensome. Sometimes you just wish, could I live a simple life like a child? Could I just be yashar? The Rambam says, yes, you can. Once in a while, you read books like this, and you hear stories of this, of executives or people who are living fast-paced, high-powered lives, and they just say, must speak enough. I'm just going to do what's right for me. And I'm not going to keep answering to all of these societal demands, cultural demands. I'm just going to follow my inner soul. You hear about this all the time. The Rambam says any person can do that. And by doing that, when we reconnect with that inner yashrus, harei zeh niskadesh kodesh kodashim, that person becomes elevated to the holy of the holies. Every person has, says Rav Volbi 26, kol odom nivra yashar, has that quality of yashrus. And we just get confused and distracted. But it's natural to us. So on line 25, and this is where we're going to end, the rest is a little bit of a different comment. Misheshomer al yashruso hatotivis, line 27. Somebody who guards, watches, cultivates, and nurtures their natural yashrus. Umismaser, and devotes themselves la'avodas Hashem, to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magia be'emes l'maylos ho'elyonos. Ultimately, they arrive at incredibly high levels. That's the goal for the Bali Musar, it seems. The goal is for us to be just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Making sure that even if we're frum, or we're learning Torah, or we're observant in terms of the mitzvot as a checklist, are we back to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us? God created us with yashrus. Are we living lives of yashrus? We can. We can live lives of yashrus even if we step down, even if we falter, even if we get confused, because ultimately that's our nature. We have a yashrus hativis, a natural yashrus, which is innate to us. And so part of our journey has to be thinking back to what is naturally good within each one of us and pursuing that and nurturing it, zigazin, and furthering it, so that we always come back to this source, this shoresh of the Sefer HaYashar, of the Avos from whom we have our spiritual DNA. We inherited the yashrus from them, but from the creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each one of us, the yashrus within. Have a great week.